Forward to that day.
All right, Matthew chapter 9. We're going to continue on with the Bible here, going through the book of Matthew. And I'm enjoying this because I just love the Bible. And I love reading about Jesus. And I love studying everything about Jesus. And I was thinking this week, if you pick one verse out of the Bible to pattern your life by, obviously you still need to read other scriptures, but it would probably be John 14:6, when Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if you think about that verse every day, okay, what am I supposed to be doing? Well, Jesus is the way. Well, how can I trust that? Well, Jesus is the truth. Well, but I want my life to have meaning. Well, Jesus is the life. I want to have a relation with God. Well, it's through Jesus. So what a powerful verse and one of my good life verses. And everyone God's given me is good because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable, the Bible says. So all scripture is profitable. But in Matthew chapter 9, we'll look at verse 18 through a few verses here. I think just verse number 26 here. And I'm going to call this today, Death in the Face of Jesus. Death in the Face of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse number 18, invites you to notice that the Word of God says this. While he spake these things unto them, behold, that means take notice, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Now, that don't sound like a worship song to me, but the Bible says he worshipped him. doesn't mean it's a song, but he came into the presence of Jesus, and somehow in his presence before him, he honored him, he worshipped him, and although he had a major need that he had in his life, one of the things I love about the Bible, I remember in the Bible says about Solomon, that when the Queen of Sheba took notice of the way he ascent up to the house of God, she was moved by the reverence of the way Solomon approached the Word of God. But anyway, the servant of the worshipped him. In verse 19, the Bible says, "And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came in behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.'" But Jesus turned. You ever read something about that and think about what a God? I mean, But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter," and I love that, "daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came unto the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now, back up to verse number 18, look at three simple thoughts today. Number one, the conditions of death, since we're talking about death in the face of Jesus. Number one, the conditions of death. So we see there's a certain ruler here, and he comes to Jesus, and this is no doubt an emotionally trying situation. It's his daughter. We read of another passage where someone came to Jesus because his centurion, his servant was sick. But you think about how touching, how heart-wrenching this could be to not come to Jesus with his daughter having a diagnosis of death. Not saying that I just found out my daughter has a tumor and she's been given 12 months to live. No, this man has come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, "My daughter is dead." I love to look up words, and I know we know what dead means, but just by application of other things I'll make later, no longer alive, departed, gone. It also means lost. Being dead means fallen. And it also, being dead means lifeless. And so the condition of this death, they were quite real. They're quite emotional. And 100% in this situation, Nothing man could do. I wrote some made notes here about the faith of this certain ruler here. Number one, his faith. He had faith in his prayer to God. Because this ruler here in this situation, he's looking at the conditions of death. We're in Matthew chapter 9. Good to see you folks. Praise God. We're in Matthew chapter 9. But as we look at the conditions of death, we see some about the certain ruler, his faith here. Number one, faith in his prayer to God. Because I just can't imagine. I mean, this is an amazing situation. This doesn't happen every day that, okay, his daughter is dead, but he comes directly. He believes so much in who Jesus is, he's going to pray to him about his daughter's death. Because he believes that prayer to God regarding his daughter's death can actually make a difference. And so we see number two about his faith. Not only does he have faith in his prayer to God, he has faith in the presence of God. Because he says here in the passage, come and lay thy hand upon her and she shall live. Lord, I know she's dead, but if you're present, this lifeless situation, this my daughter that's departed, this fallen one, you can change that. Anybody got any lifeless situation in your life? Anybody got any departed hope in your life over a situation? Well, the presence of God makes a difference. Last of all, we see under this condition of death, and look at the faith of a certain ruler, is he had faith in the power of God. Because, it's pretty obvious if his presence will make the difference. He said, Lord, if you'll just come and lay thy hand upon her, she shall live. Now, this I love this because this is just who my God is. He can do pretty much anything he wants to do. And it's nice when you see somebody in the Bible that actually believes that same way. Because, his daughter's dead. But he says, Lord, even now, if you'll just come and lay your hand upon her, she'll live. And I know what it looks like. I know what it means to be dead. He understands. The reason I'm belaboring the conditions of death, he understands what it really means to be dead. This is not a coma. This is not, his daughter is literally dead, but he says, that's no big deal for you. Because he said, you're Lord, right? Except even now. Now, number two, the coming to the daughter. Now, every time I read this, I'm so amazed at Jesus. Because here it is, this man's daughter is dead, and just en route, just by, as he's going his course away, is another miracle going to take place, because that's just who he is. It's nothing is too big for God. And in the process of going to the daughter, he recognizes, or we see here in verse 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. So, just in coming, we see someone that is in a situation that nobody in the earth has been able to help her with. This is not a problem for 1 year. This is not a problem for 2 years. This is not a problem for 3 years. And to me, this is kind of amazing when you think about this. I don't know about you and me, but my wife and I are finding out. I know even talking to whatever your name is in the back there, Wendy. You can tell I'm getting old, having brain cramp. Talking to Wendy about, and even Bavon and different people, there's so many natural things that can cure things. And at this time, I believe this was probably at the height of what people use. I think we've only departed from many of these things. It's funny when you, it's amazing when you talk to people about different cultures. I remember talking to somebody one time. He said, yeah, my mother used to go and grab this thing out of the weeds and break this thing down and crush it up, and she put it on stuff and it would heal things. And you talk to different cultures, you hear all types of things like that. They didn't even know what it was, what it called it, but yeah, they sell it. Now you can buy it in a store for $79.99. Because they make it make money off this stuff. But so here's a situation here that when we think about doctors, I think we're thinking about herbal people that had these things that were naturally given to us by God for healing. And for 12 years, there was not one single person that could help her. And Jesus is just passing by, but here's the miracle of it all. She recognizes how pretty much hopeless her situation is, but she said, wait a minute.
Because I like what it says here. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood came behind him. So she saw him. And as she followed him. And she recognized an opportunity to get to Jesus. If you're struggling with something today, whether it be 1 year, 2 years, up to 12 years, you have an opportunity to get to Jesus. We see from the one, the prayer for the man that had the dead daughter. And if you're a child of God, he's already inside of you. And so you need to recognize this opportunity and go to him and just believe. Say, Father, how can I touch you with this? And because she wanted to touch him, and actually she didn't want to touch him. This is how much she knew, how much she believed in the power of God. She said, if I may, but she came and touched him with his garment. And I love this testimony. And this is the best part of all of it. We see a woman that had a pure personal faith. Because she said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. I don't have to really, I see Jesus. I know he's present. I know the clothes that he is wearing house the living God. Think about that now. Now let's make some application. I think the Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Anybody believe the Holy Spirit's God? So there's some amazing things that we need all to believe that when God speaks to us about how we can just honor him and serve him, just the fact that he is inside of us, man, this defeated attitude of when we just can't do it, or we just barely scraping by and being overcome by the cares of the world all the time, we don't have to do that. I mean, by the grace of God, this woman said, you know what, those clothes that he made, Well, wait, he made me too. Those clothes that were made by the particles and things that Jesus made, if I just get near him and touch the clothes that are touching him, that which I have not been able to have victory over for 12 years of my life, I can be made whole of that in the moment I touch him. And we see it happen. But here she had a personal faith. And I wrote a note. Turn to Matthew back a few pages. This is amazing. And this will help you. I'm pretty redundant. We probably looked at it before, but I forget what I preached last week sometimes, so you probably do too. But in Matthew chapter 8, it says here, this is the main, write this statement down or in your mind, acts of faith are more important than statements of faith. Acts of faith are more important than statements of faith. Notice what it says in Matthew 8. Verse number 18. It says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, the man makes a statement of faith, and Jesus is kind of stopping him here because he recognized he's just making a statement. And that statement don't mean anything without some action. Now, it wasn't a bad statement, but he could see Jesus right, obviously, right? So he knew where he was. So if he was going to follow him, he just needed to follow him, right? He didn't have to tell him. He could just go and do it, you know? And the reason that's relevant is because this woman here, she said within herself, and she didn't have to make a statement about this faith that was in her, but this faith that was in her couldn't help but demand an action. And what's happened a lot in Christianity today, there's a lot of statements of faith, but no actions of faith. You know, and in fact, I was thinking as I meditated on this morning, you know, I think of all the vision, well, let's say the varied number of statements of faith. Let's just say within Baptist, since this is the Baptist church, in the great lack of action that's taking place among believers today. And man, God just looking for some people that'll just say within themselves that, you know what? I'm hopeless, but not with God. I'm helpless, but not with God. Hey, but nobody can help me. Nobody can help me. But I still got God. and she reached out and touched that garment. Boom! Changed in an instant by the power of God. And just because she said within herself, you know, and I wrote a note, and I may have read this to you before, and this is preaching to me. I said, the greatest weakness of my life as a child of God is that I all too often say that I will follow instead of simply following. The scribe clearly could see where Jesus was, and therefore a statement of faith was not necessary. Action was necessary. So I can take you to my journal. So many times I wrote down today. This is an exciting moment. I said, God, just follow me. He don't even say, he said, just do it. You know, and this woman here, just in Jesus, again, talking about death in the face of Jesus. Here's a death situation. Jesus is passing, going to a death situation. He just happened to come to the daughter. And because of the faith within her, all of a sudden, something again, a miracle takes place. Back in Matthew chapter 9, so we see the conditions of death. We see the coming to the daughter. And now last of all, we see the cursing of his diagnosis. The cursing of his diagnosis. And this is rather amazing. This is good. This was worth not taking your nap for, trust me. And verse 22, but when Jesus turned to him about, I just want to catch this again. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place. Now, they got some serious emotion going on here. They have some great concern for the ruler, you know, ruler's daughter. They're mourning. They got the minstrels there. They're playing the music, the mourning music, that it's over, that she's dead. And he says, give place. And he said, hey, get out of the way. I'm here. That's a polite way of saying, move over. And he says, give place. Then he gives his diagnosis of the situation. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And I guess they missed the fact that they missed the faith of the certain ruler that brought Jesus. Because he didn't, you know, when he left the house, I don't think, I'm pretty sure he didn't say, you know what, from my understanding, she was not alive. Because she was dead when he got there. So when the certain ruler left the house, he already knew his daughter was dead. And they knew, well, I don't know if they knew or not, but I mean, possibly they knew that he left knowing his daughter was dead, going to get Jesus to help in the situation. And they totally disregarded this man's faith. And they're laughing to scorn. And when you scorn somebody, that's like with contempt. That's borderline cursing them. That's why I put the cursing of the diagnosis. But you know, but I thank God Jesus is not moved, because he's just acting on the faith. Amen. And he says, get place. The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, and I wrote some notes here to help us, help me to keep this in. But it says, what God says has authority beyond what we can see. Because they laughed him to scorn because they could see she was dead. And they could not comprehend how God could say something that did not agree with what they could see with their own eyes. Are you with me? That's good right there. You catch that now. They could not comprehend. I can't even say it again, so I hope you heard. They could not comprehend that God said something that did not agree with what they could see with their eye. But God has authority beyond what you and I can see. What God says has authority beyond what we have experienced. What God says has authority beyond what we have experienced. I would imagine this is not the first person that they've seen die. And this is not the first person that they've seen that once they die, then it's over. And they probably not see somebody that they knew was dead. They took their pulse, somebody, and all of a sudden they just woke up out of death. Man, that was a good nap. They didn't see that. They hadn't experienced that. And so even though they possibly knew of the name of who this was, they didn't recognize the sovereignty of what he was saying, because what God said to them, it did not agree with their experience, so they totally disregarded what God said. This is amazing. And by the way, that's pretty much the life of faith that we live, that we're called to live. Number three, in the cursing of the diagnosis, what God says has authority beyond what we can feel. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think these are rebellious, mean-spirited people. I don't think these are people that are just in their heart anti-God and just want to deny God. But due to what their emotion at this time, because I mean, the minstrels are here, and there's emotion, there's trauma going on, and he says, and Jesus gives his word over the situation, and based on what they're feeling, they can't receive it. But God's word and what God says has sovereignty or authority beyond what we can feel. You know, many times God says something that I'm not feeling at that moment. You know, but I know God's right. I was walking with Morgan this morning, and we were talking about something, and he was talking about God, and I said, you know, God's always right. He never makes a mistake. You know, and every situation in life, if you begin with the fact that God is right, and notice I didn't say belief, you begin with the fact that God is right. Because 1 + 1 = 2, whether you believe it or not. And God is always right, whether you believe it or not. And whether I believe it or not. So you begin with the fact that God is always right. And then you begin to recognize that the power of what God says in a situation that I can't see. Lord, I can't see how you're going to work that out. Lord, I've never experienced anything like this before, but I know this, like January 20th, 1993, when I gave my life to Christ, I never personally experienced it. If I just repented of my sin and believed on Christ, that something would happen on my inside and I would be different. And I would know somehow by the witness of the Holy Spirit that I was his child. But thank God that I recognize the authority of God in his word beyond what I'd ever experienced. That's why I'm born again today. Amen. By the grace of God. That's how it happens to everybody. They may not say the same words or the same type of situation, but at some point you turn from you to Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may not have said the word repent, but you knew that you were undone. You knew that you were estranged from God, separated from God through your sin. You knew that Jesus was the answer to your sin, and he was life. And if you turned to him, you could have life and forgiveness. However that happened, but you know when it happened, the Holy Spirit said, yep, you're mine now. But they cursed his diagnosis. And I wrote this here, and I may have already restated it, but I'm going to read it anyway. They laughed at him because they felt like the words that he was speaking did not take into account the reality or seriousness of the situation. I'm going to read that again. They laughed at him because they felt like the words that he was speaking did not take into account the reality or the seriousness of the situations of the situation. Now, anybody ever been there? Amen. You ever struggling with something and somebody gives you a verse, or maybe I gave you the verse, or maybe you read it yourself, and the spirit says that's the answer, but the flesh says it's just not that easy. I listened to a tremendous message it was 3 weeks ago, just from Proverbs 3:5-6, just basically trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean onto thine own understanding. You know, that's one of the most simple, empowering, unbelieved passages in all the Word of God. And I'm the height of the ones that struggle with that. And it's amazing how it's the answer. Whatever the situation is, that is the answer. But in the moment you're going through, whatever it is you're going through, it just seems like those words don't take into account the reality or the seriousness of what you're dealing with. Can I get a witness? Is that right? And that's where faith is developed, you know. Or somebody comes to you and says something, you got this person on the job that you can't do nothing with. Well, you know the Bible says you're going to love your enemies. And you heard me say it 1,000 times, and you look at me, and you, in your heart, you may not look, because, or you're faking it pretty good. Well, Pastor, you don't know the person I'm dealing with right now. you can say that, but you don't know my enemies. And you're right, I don't. But God does, and he wrote it. And God knows my enemies, and he knows the people that he wants you to bless that have cursed me. He knows people that he wants you to pray for that have despitefully used me. He knows all those, and he knows yours too. And But it just seems like in those moments that the Word of God does not take into account the reality or the seriousness of the situation. He said, be holy, for I am holy. That means he says, you know what that really means? He says, be mine. I mean, that's really what that means. Be mine. Should that be difficult for the God that made us to be mine in everything? He said, Lord, you don't know how, you know, that's tough today. that simple word doesn't seem to take into account the reality of the seriousness of the situation that we live in. He said, but yet and still, see, they curse the diagnosis, but yet and still, the Word of God still prevailed. Thank God that it, and the, here's the grace of God. But anyway, the centurion is the one that came and got Jesus anyway, amen. So, doesn't matter what anybody else around is cursing or saying. Just you and I make sure we're the ones to go get Jesus, amen. And we'll experience the reality and the power of the Word of God showing its sovereign ability over any and all situation. I'm amazed. The Bible makes a simple statement here. I wish I'd wrote the reference down, but I didn't have it before the message, so I didn't. He is our peace. That's a simple verse. It didn't say he will lead us to peace. It didn't even say he will give us peace. It might say that somewhere else. But it's, the Bible says he is our peace. That's amazing. But today we're meeting for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No gunfire on the outside. No bombs exploding around us. No fear of anybody breaking in and saying deny Christ or die. And so it seems okay to be peaceful. But can you imagine, you know, going to China or some other country and Pakistan? I know even like Brother McTague, the preacher a few weeks ago, that was missionary in Nepal, that pretty much booted any Christian missionaries out of the country. And the duress went through, and somebody saying they, you just go there to serve God. You believe that he was there 7 years, and you're digging in roots, and all of a sudden it's over, and somebody comes and says, well, he is our peace. That doesn't seem to take into account the reality or the seriousness of the situation. But yet, and still, it governs, it is the truth, and it governs everything we do. And see, this is amazing. And this is such a, but see, and again, this is why I brought up the definition of death. Dead, no longer alive, departed, gone, lost. You can be saved and feel like you're lost sometimes. Am I right about it? I don't mean like lost as far as salvation, but just lost and like, man, what's going on here? You know, fallen, just been fallen 7 times, rise up again, you know, I mean, God's people do fall. Lifeless, have no vision, no hope, and you think, and yet a word comes to you from the Word of God, and it just doesn't seem, it can't just really be that simple, but it is by the power and the almighty authority of God. And see, God wants us to know this because in the passing, again, this is how simple it was. A woman had an issue of blood 12 years that nobody in the world could do anything with. Oh, that's Jesus. And all she had to do was reach down. And all of a sudden it's over. And the daughter comes, and the certain ruler, he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, my daughter's even now dead. I mean, she's dead. She's not dying. Jesus, she's now dead. But I know that if you'll just come, and how do you say it exactly? If you'll come in verse 18, but come and lay thy hand upon her, she shall live. That's amazing. That happened. You know, this is not a parable here. This happened. And there's a room gathered for people that loved and cared about this daughter, I believe. And they listened to the words of Jesus and thought, man, you are absolutely crazy. They scorned him. They laughed him to scorn. I mean, that's how they viewed the counsel of Jesus Christ in this situation. There's absolutely no, what in the world are you talking about? The Bible says in another passage, they thought he was beside himself. That's what they thought of Jesus. They thought he was mad. Because they could not wrap their brain around how in the world could you just say something and you really believe that what you said is going to be different than what I can see. It's going to be really different than what I have experienced. And it's really going to be different than how I feel right now. And Jesus would say, yes, because God wrote this verse in Isaiah. He said, I am the Lord and there is none else. And man, and God showed he was the Lord. Now closing, turn to John 14, verse 6, and we're done. We had a mini message today, so we quit here. But I think this is enough to change your life right here, to be honest with you. And I took a while to realize it ain't about how long it is, it's about how much it is from him. I'm going out of here flying to nobody else here. Might be into the face of death, but because I've got life and death situation every day. But in John 14, verse number 6, we quoted this verse earlier. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about the life of Jesus on the earth. As Jesus is walking and living, everything he's doing is bringing, showing us forth the reality of this verse here. Because he interacts with people that have their own way of doing things, and he said, no, I'm the way. Remember the Pharisees, and the man had the withered hand, and he said, should we heal a man on the Sabbath day? And they were silent. Because their way wasn't to do that, because that would interrupt religious protocol, you know. I mentioned to you several, a few years ago, one of the mothers in our building and her sons were fighting, and we were just getting ready to leave the door for church, you know, Muslim family. And she said, Mr. Harper, will you help me? My boys are fighting. In the past, I was so absolutely rigid that I probably would have said, no, honestly, I'm just telling the truth. I would have said, no, I'm on my way to church. Because I was so rigid before, I didn't want to disrupt the Sabbath day, you know. But I went up, and I think we ended up being like a half hour late for church, you know. I went up and talked to the boy. I just preached Jesus to him, man. It was a mother, family, mother sitting there shaking her head the whole time. So I think, thank God for Jesus, amen. But Jesus showed us that he's the way. And everything he does, he's the way. And you think about this situation. They thought, okay, well, she's dead, it's over. And so now, if he had got there before she died, they'd have thought, oh man, great, Jesus is here. But no, he came after she was dead. You know, and Jesus comes into your situation after it's hopeless for you. And he comes into my situation after it's hopeless for me. So we can see the reality that he's not only the way, because some things he doesn't always resurrect, but we do find out in that death that he is the life. And so everything about we're living right now is bringing us to that reality that he is the way. And we find out in this situation that he was telling the truth. They laughed in the scorn, but he said, no, man, she's sleeping. And she got up. So he was telling the truth. And then they found out that even though she really was dead, but his way was the truth. So that means that he's the life. And so everything about what you're living right now is to bring you to the place to realize that Jesus is the way. And if you're trusting him, you'll find out that that's the truth. And some of the greatest fears you and I overcome or have to overcome is decisions of faith where we feel like, man, I just can't live if I try to trust God in this way. I just can't live if this happens. I can't live if that happens. I can't live. And then we find out that Jesus is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father. And in those moments when you experience all that, know what happens? You see God like you haven't. You, as a father that you haven't really seen in a while. You know, I was driving the other day, and I was going through something, and I just said, Abba! You know what? He heard me. And because he brings us through these situations, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And this is amazing. And you know what? But I know the truth right now. Right now,
as excited as you see that I am about this, there's a voice. And you know, every single person is from whatever you're going through. I just gave you the answer. I gave you a solution for anything you're going through, and you know it. But right now, I know there's a voice that says that message does not take into account the reality or the seriousness of the situation that I'm in. But that voice is not of God. Jesus is a way, He's a truth, and He's a life. And the Word of God, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Whatever your death, whatever death you're facing, maybe death of a dream, maybe death of a goal, death of a job, death of a relationship, death of finances. that bank account seems kind of lifeless sometimes. And Jesus is the way. And even though you look at those things, those aren't the way. And by the way, those things aren't the life. That's the deception, that those things are the life. And I assure you that Jesus really is the truth. There's nothing else you ever trust in that would do you better than the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. I don't know how You allowed me to preach this, but I'm so thankful that You did. Lord, things You just even showed and empowered me to say that just beyond even what I was ready for today, but I thank You for it. You are an amazing, almighty, awesome God. Heavenly Father, there's absolutely no one like You, and I thank You for that. Father, You know the needs in this room, and I plead with You that this message will be taken to the heart of every single hearer. In whatever situation they're in, whatever issue there may be a long-standing issue in somebody's heart right now that they've been struggling with, or a situation they've been struggling with. Father, would You somehow, by the Word of God that's been preached today, allow them to, by faith, reach out to You, believing that they can be made whole through You. And Lord, I pray that would You please send the power of the Holy Spirit to bear witness in the heart that it really is absolutely that simple. As to hearing what You said and trusting what You said about this situation, regardless of what anybody else says about the situation, and even regardless of what we think or have experienced about our own situation, would You grant in this entire room faith to trust Your word as the words of the true, one and only living God that You are. And I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in His holy and almighty name that we pray.